Blog Talk Radio.
This type of demand.
My main point here is that none of us should get into this dialogue of my slave master is better than your slave master, inasmuch as all of them were bad. But each one of us had to deal with a given situation, and all of the situations were bad, and all of the situations were humiliating. And none of the slave masters were kind. And none of them did us any favor. And none of them favored one over the other. And understand that the slave ships did not bring any black Americans or any Caribbeans out of Africa. But only African people, and all of them had to become what the system made them become. And so we have to understand that all of us belong to a collective African family away from home. And subsequently, we are going to have to go back home or make some kind of contribution to Africans in Africa. All right, that's not my point. That's not the subject for tonight, but it is a subject that we cannot avoid. All right, now, why the emphasis on Africa and the rise of Christianity? And I'll tell you how I came to the subject briefly. Because I learned to read very early, because I wanted to teach Sunday school in a Baptist church, and because I had, I was under the persuasion of a great lady, my great grandmother, one of the great loves of my existence, because she was devoutly religious and a believer in the Bible to the point of saying everything in the Bible is true and not to be contradicted. And when I found all those white images and went to Grandma, Grandma said, "Shut up, boy. That's God's word." When I mentioned the curse and asked the question, what did we do as a people to get cursed? She rationalized it and said that, well, one day the veil will be lifted and we'll be freed of the curse. I could not deal with this because I had so much faith in her and her deep religious belief that everything in the Bible was true. I had not grown up, of course. I had not read books about how the Bible got written. I did not know at that time how to separate history from Jewish folklore. I did not know that principally the Bible is a Jewish survival book and a very good one, and that some of it is pure history, some of it is pure folklore, but all of it is spirituality. And we must understand, all of it was told as a spiritual story and for the spiritual enhancement of all men. I had not at that time looked at the Egyptian version and the Ethiopian version of the Bible. It was not until the late 30s that I saw an Ethiopian Bible, and in the Ethiopian Bible there was only one white character, and that was the devil. I had not at that time been exposed to all of that, or the literature concerning the religions of the world. I saw that Africa was the basis of all the three major world religions. What I want to look at, I want to look at not only Africa as the basis of the world's religions, I want to look at the spirituality of the world of that day before the formal development of these religions. Because these religions were developed out of the spirituality that existed at the time. And that the spirituality at the time and the religions at the time was not a weekend thing. It was an all-conclusive thing that it embraced the life of its inheritance. To such an extent, your religion determined your dress, your marriage, your diet. It determined where you lived. It determined the totality of your life. And it was not a partial thing in your life. It was a total thing in your life, as your choice of spirituality supposed to be. Western man made it something that it was never intended to be. Now, my main point is that all of the elements that went into the making of the world's three major religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, all of the elements existed in Africa 3,000 years before the formal development of these religions. We want to look at these elements and look at these stories. Then we want to deal with the Hebrew entry and to what extent they copied African folklore and made this folklore a part of their history. And the same folklore having existed in Africa for thousands of years before they arrived. Now, what you have to look at also is the fact that we are talking about a period in the history of the world when there was no such thing as Europe. It's hard for you to believe this, and it is hard for you to understand that for most of the existence of the world, for most of the time, man has been functioning in the world, there was no such place as Europe. Now, we're looking at civilizations that existed before the creation of a place in northern Asia called Europe. That is not a continent. What you have to understand is the impact of the glacial age. And the glacial age hit Europe. For most of the existence of these early civilizations, Europe was an ice cap and was uninhabited. It was only after the melting of this ice that people could go into Europe and form a civilization or a way of life. And these first people were Africans. Now, you're wondering, how did they become white? Well, it's a longer story that we can tell. But nature endows man and woman with the covering they need when nature put them down. And nature subtracts from man and woman things that they do not need in the climate and in the environment where nature put them down or where they choose to dwell. All right, now, Christianity developed out of African humanistic values and social thought. These humanistic values and social thought was old in Africa and remained in Africa for thousands of years before someone gave the religion a name. In other words, there was probably more Christianity before someone decided that it should have a name and they put a name on it. Now, this is reflected in a lot of literature, some written by our own writers, John Jackson's Pagan Origins of the Christ Myth, where he traces the concept of Christ in 26 civilizations, all 1,000 miles apart. And in another word, man, God.
God bless you tonight. This is Crossing Ancestor. That was Dr. Henry Clark. Dr. Henry Clark was talking about high religion, how a white man come over to Africa and named it religion. And the African, our ancestor, named it spiritual. And when they carried it back to Europe, they called it Christianity. And they manufactured different names in the Bible. If you notice, there's no blacks wrote the Bible. All Europeans wrote the Bible for us. So to know that it's time for the truth to come out about what went on for years. I hope you're able to. And a man said, just, I can give you a handful of faith, but if I give you a bucket of truth, you got to go with the bucket of truth. Dr. Henry Clark is a historic, and he's been all over the world. Christianity was named by the Europeans. They took it to Rome and changed it all the way around, but it's a slave religion. I know you don't want to hear that. My grandmother, your grandmother, they didn't know. But I know one thing, my grandmother kept the 23rd number Psalms on the wall. She never did put that white picture of Jesus up on the wall. She put the words up on the wall. And what I'm telling you tonight, with all the killing that's going on and the murder, is because of sin, and we have strayed away from the real God, the God of the universe, the God of the wind, the God of storm. I'm praying for you and you tonight. This is Bishop Chronicles with the Ancestors. You want to write me, go to my website, DustyAbrahamYourWebsite.com. You can write me, Post Office Box 28907, Chicago, Illinois. If you want to see, go to Cash Out and put Bishop TT and I'll give it. And some of you need to plant a seed because you need, this is March the 3rd month. Happy birthday to those. Birthday to you, Francis. Birthday to you, Ralph. Birthday to you, Brother Cook, and all the families I'm praying for. Every need that you need, if you need to plant a seed, do it quick, fast, and in a hurry, because when you plant that seed, the harvest coming. This is the month to get your seed in the ground. I want to pray for your family. A young lady called me, said her daughter was sick in California, and they all snowed in. And we began to pray. And while we were praying, somebody knocked on the door to come see about them. Don't tell me what God can't do. The real God, the God of the universe, not this fake God that man has set up to keep us in slavery. You're going to learn some things tonight. Some things going to come to you. I want you to be able to accept it. I want you to read Acts 17:22, where Paul said, I perceive that y'all too superstitious, too religious on something you don't know about. You need to know how you become a Christian. You need to know why you at a stop in your life. Because God made for you to heal body, mind, soul, and spirit. And tonight, I decree your healing, I shall say. When I call the ancestors, the angel Michael, Raphael, Babiel, these are the archangels. These are the spirit. But I want you to know, in the Bible, I never seen black angels until I began to research. I seen black angels. And, you know, when you go back, I know y'all the bishop where you're talking about that. You got to talk about, if ain't nobody looking like me and you, how can they help us? Because the Bible wasn't wrote for you. It was wrote to enslave you. I need to leave that alone because somebody be saying, Bishop, you can be spiritual. Ain't got to be religious. Religion was given when the Europeans went to Africa. The Native American called it spiritual, God of the wind, God of the water, God of the ocean. And the European guys said, we're going to call it religion. And we're going to call it religion. And that's what's been going on for the longest. They've been calling it religious, keeping us under bondage and slavery. But I'm telling you, we're coming out of that. And I want to share some things with you tonight. Get your pens and papers. I'll just read Acts 17:22, where Paul said, I receive you Greeks, y'all too religious. Y'all too, superstitious. And some of us are superstitious. And this is the month you work your magic. Now, in the Christian thing, they said miracles. But in the African thing, it said, you do your magic. You do your praying to the Almighty, and God can work. I want you to get ready. I want to share something with you. To Brother Hagin brought some stuff up. I want you to listen to that.
I'm speaking to you today from the paradigm of science and psychology. How many of y'all got your Bibles? If you do, turn right quick to Acts, the 7th chapter. I'm sorry, 17th chapter, 22nd verse. Acts 17:22. Turn quickly. Acts is in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the book of Acts. Comes up to John 17, chapter, verse 22. Would you read it for me, please?
Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill
and said,
you men of Athens,
in other words, you Greeks,
I perceive that in all things
you are what?
You are too superstitious.
You are too, what's that last word? Wait, one more time, what's that last word? You're too superstitious. You men of Athens, what country is the city of Athens in? This whole program that has been forced upon us comes from the Greco-Roman Empire. Now, I don't know if anyone here has another version other than the King James Version. Anybody got an NIV? What do you have, Elder?
Mine is Scofield, and it says, very religious.
Uh-oh! Say it a little bit louder so I can hear what it says. Instead of the word superstitious, what word is it?
I perceive that in all things, he are very religious.
Thank you. Make a note of it in your books. In the biblical text, the word superstition and the word religion are the same. So, y'all see it? When you believe in things that you don't understand, then you suffer. Superstition ain't the way. When you believe in things that you don't understand, then you suffer. Religion ain't the way. I'm not grabbing this. Had to play that song. I just told y'all that for 1,680 years, almost two millenniums, far too many people, especially our people, have been suffering from a psychological impairment called Christmas. And as a result of this psychological impairment, which was programmed into us by the Euro-Gentile Greco-Roman Catholic Church, the world now suffers from the most powerful psychopathology ever inflicted upon the human race. What do I mean by the terms psychological impairment? So did you follow me now? What do I mean by the term psychopathology? An application to why they gave us Christmas. Let me define it for you from the medical dictionaries. A psychological impairment is characterized by a pattern of persistently learning that which hinders or damages the spiritual, intellectual, and or emotional development of an individual. Did y'all hear what I said? In other words, I'll read it again. A psychological impairment is characterized by a pattern of persistently learning that which hinders or damages the spiritual, intellectual, and or emotional development of an individual, resulting in a below normal, unhealthy, or unrealistic cognitive function. When you persistently learn a lie, you become psychologically impaired. Now, the term psychopathology is the study of the origin, development, and manifestations of behavior patterns and experiences which may be indicative of mental illness or psychological impairment. Psychopathology is when you study a person based on what they believe. That's what cognitive psychology is really all about. For example, the belief in and claims to a red-nosed reindeer may be considered as a psychopathological sign. The belief in or claims of the Charlie Batman in a red suit who rides through the night sky in his sleigh being pulled by flying reindeer, landing on rooftops and squeezing himself down a chimney that is 12 inches in diameter without dirtying his suit and delivering gifts to children who did not pout or cry and were not naughty but nice. The claim to this activity or the belief in such a thing or even speak such a thing may be considered as psychopathological activity, professionally speaking. The belief in bunny rabbits that lay different colored eggs may be considered as a psychopathological sign. Y'all ain't got no problem with what I'm saying, do you? I know you don't. So fast, we don't believe that stuff anyway. Well, let me go a little deeper for you. The belief in or claims of a little white virgin-born child wrapped in swaddling clothes. Check this out. Whose birth was so awesome that the stars in the sky change their attitude and summons kings and wise men from the far east just to come look at him and pay homage to him. And we're really deep about it. If these men rode on camelbacks over a distance of almost 15,000 miles in less in 2 days. To believe such a thing as a therapist, as a psychologist, in my opinion, that's a psychopathological sign and you suffer from mental illness. Brothers and sisters, the most powerful, now hear this very well, and if I repeat this after me, the most powerful and most effective psychopathology is the belief in something simply because you want it to exist. Can I talk to you today? To believe in something that has no historical evidence for. To believe in something that does not have any archaeological evidence to it. And yet you believe it to the point to where, even though it's not real, it becomes your reality. That's a mental illness. I know some of you might not have thought about this that way. That's what it is. To understand why they gave us Christmas, you must understand that they, meaning the pagans, to be more specific, the Euro-Gentile pagans, they psychologically induced the belief in a lie. Check this out now. And then after inducing the belief in a lie, they then glorified and glamorized the lie in such a way that it would create within us a desire and a longing for the existence of that lie. Let me run it back by you again. The reason why they gave us Christmas, the reason why they gave us Easter, the reason why they gave us Thanksgiving, the reason why they gave us Valentine's Day, you name it, but their two major religious holidays are Christmas and Easter. And the reason why they gave us this was to psychologically induce that lie into our psycho-viscera. And how did they do that? They did it when we were children. Children are made to sit on Santa Claus' lap. Now, like I said on the radio this morning, I'm going to be honest with y'all. What I'm saying today, as far as I'm concerned, it has no bearing whatsoever to white folk.
That's right.
What I'm talking about came from the white man.
Right.
This is their pagan practice.
Right.
And if they want to practice that, then cool. That's them. It came from them. Maybe they find some kind of fulfillment in it. I don't know. But what I do know is it ain't for black folks. It's not poor. It's not poor. Why am I saying that? Because we're talking about pagan practices that were created by a non-spiritual people. And the most damaging thing you can do to a spiritual people is have them to suffer from a psychological impairment by taking on non-spiritual ways. I'll just make a sense to y'all. I found out that too many black folks want the Christ mass of the Roman Catholic Church. Too many black folks long for the Christ mass of the Roman Catholic Church. Too many black folks crave for the Christ mass. That's what it used to be called, y'all, before it was changed to Christmas. Guess what, y'all? In fact, our people who suffer from this psychopathology literally need it to exist. Why do they need it to exist, Dr. Ray? Because their psychological impairment, their psychopathology demands it. I just told you that the most powerful and most effective psychopathology is the belief in something simply because you want it to exist. It doesn't exist, but you want it to. Now, remember that when you try to free your African brothers and sisters' minds. When you try to let them know that they're believing in something that Greco-Roman bishops made up in the year 325 AD at the Nicene Council. When you try to tell them that and they have taught you, understand, that's their psychopathic behavior. They don't know it. And you know why they don't know it? Because the masses are suffering from the same psychological impairment. The demand for the existence of the lie. The demand from our people, black African people, the demand for the existence of the lie is so great. Check it out. That many black people have absolutely no idea what they would do if it didn't exist.
Oh,
black folks you. I don't know what I'd do. If it wasn't for Jesus. I was sharing with a brother just the other day, trying to talk with him. Now, as he called me, I didn't go to him. He came to me and asked me about his predicament. And as I began to share with him some stuff that his psychopathology would not allow, he said, brother, I don't care what you say. I said, what the hell you call me for then? If you don't care what I say, why waste my time? And he let me know clear. He said, brother, I don't care what you say. I know that Jesus lives. And I said to him, how do you know it, brother? Really, I mean, come on. You're talking with me on a systematic level. Now talk to me. How do you know this? And guess what he did? He started quoting a song to me. He said, because I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living. Whatever men may say, I see his hand of mercy, and I hear his voice of cheer, and just the time I need him, he's always here. I had to be patient with him. I had to be patient with him. Then he went on to say, because I'm waiting for the answer to my question. He went on to say, he lives. Y'all know the words of the song? What did I say? Christ Jesus lives today. Because he walks with me. He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. Salvation to the cross. Then he got to my question. He said, you ask me how I know he lives. Guess what he said? He said, because he lives within my heart. I said, thank you, brother. In other words, what you're telling me is it is a figment of your imagination. You have no scientific evidence. He lives within your heart. And I'm going to leave it right there with you. Because I can't mess with thoughts. If that's what you think, then go. But that doesn't stand up in the courtroom of my mind. He lives within my heart. That is deep. Well, needless to say, I'm the one who got attacked. As a result of this type of demand, this psychopathic demand, those who do not suffer from this psychological impairment, or those who have been delivered from this psychological impairment of believing in that which does not exist. Those who have been delivered from such are cast aside by those who have not been delivered. Those who have been delivered and do not suffer with this psychological impairment are shunned by those who do suffer with it. Those who do not suffer with this psychological impairment are criticized by those who do suffer with it. And those who do no longer suffer from this psychopathological behavior are often even outright attacked by those who still suffer from such. Yes. A state of war exists in the minds of those who suffer this psychopathology against anyone who would try to free their mind from their psychological impairment. One of the biggest problems, one of the most difficult situations that we have to deal with in the realm of mental health is trying to help a person who suffers from mental illness. You know why? Because they don't know. that they're mentally ill. They really don't know. They look normal. They got good jobs, good families, riding fine cars, and are suffering a mental illness. I'll be totally honest with y'all, especially those of you listening to me who get what I'm saying. Y'all need to put in an insurance claim. Sure. Y'all need to take some sick time off work. And in the other case, if you're suffering from a mental illness, you can go on disability. I'm serious. According to the Dictionary of Medicine, to believe in something that does not historically or archaeologically exist, there's no evidence for it, that is mental illness. Chocolate neck flaming. Let's take a glimpse at history now and perhaps see where these solstice traditions come from. Well, first thing you need to know is long before a so-called first-born Savior called Jesus came in on the scene from the minds of the Roman Catholic Church, for millennia, thousands of years, midwinter has always been a time of celebration for billions of people around the world, long before the Nicene Council in 325 AD came up with this declaration or the decree that December 25th was to be the day of celebrating the birth of their Romanized virgin-born baby Jesus. People of the world rejoiced when the winter solstice arrived on December 21st. And the reason why they rejoiced is because, see, again, now, please understand, we're not talking about Africans. They didn't stop, they didn't practice these pagan practices. We're talking about the Euro-Gentile pagans who practiced these pagan practices. And I'm going to tell you why. They would freak out every year. They bug out because the sun, see, they didn't understand the Earth's solar orbit. They didn't understand the axial tilt of the Earth and the movement of the sun upon it. They didn't grab all, you got to remember, y'all, white folk thought that the Earth was flat up until 1492. Y'all follow what I'm saying? They thought if they fell way up there, they'd fall off the edge of the Earth. They didn't know it was round. As recent as 1492.
You're right.
So not understanding the orbital path of the Earth and the axial tilt of the Earth and how the sun would hit it, the closer it got to winter, it looked like the sun was moving further away. So the days became shorter and shorter and shorter. And the nights became longer. And especially being up north, no sunlight, it got colder and colder and colder. So these European pagan Gentiles, they honestly believed that the sun was leaving them. And on December 21st, it looked like the sun stopped going farther away and stopped and made a U-turn and started coming back this way. And they got so happy about that. That's called the winter solstice. They got so happy about it that they began to celebrate. It became a time of celebration. Why did it become a time of celebration? Because the Son of God, or God's Son, had become the light of the world. world. Y'all hear me? The sun that seemingly stopped in its motion died. And for 3 days, it didn't move. Then it rose again on the third day. Y'all getting this thing? So the pagans worshipped something called Mithra. Write it down. M-I-T-H-R-A. Mithra, which was the Persian sun god. Now, let me drop something on y'all, because Mithra dates back thousands of years before so-called Jesus Christ. The Persians taught that Mithra was born of a virgin on December 25th. Y'all hear me? The Persians taught that when Mithra was born, that his birth was witnessed by shepherds and magicians, or something called the Magi, or Magi. Mithra, long before Jesus, the Persians taught that he raised the dead, that he healed the sick, that he cast out demons. Mithra was taught that he ascended to heaven shortly after the vernal equinox, or what we know as Easter. But before doing this, he had a final supper with his 12 disciples. Of course, each disciple represents a sign of the zodiac. The winter solstice, why did they give us Christmas? Again, to induce into the psychology of a people who are spiritual by nature, a belief system, a pagan practice that would make impotent those of us who are spiritual by nature. So what people are calling Christmas is really nothing more than the pagan practices of worshiping the sun god Mithra that the Roman Catholic Church incorporated or stole or copied from them and called it Christmas. The winter solstice, now check this out, y'all. The winter solstice was the season to be jolly. That celebrated in ancient Rome. This festival was called and still is called Saturnalia. Write it down. S-A-T-U-R-N-A-L-I-A. Saturnalia, the celebration of it began on December 17th. This was the time. Check out these deepest things. During the festival of Saturnalia, this was the time when slaves were no longer slaves. They were allowed to play the role of being the master. Everything in life was easy. Therefore, it became a role reversal day, or a role reversal holy day. Now, this is really deep. Because in the festival of Saturnalia, all classes, whether you were rich or poor, master or slave, guess what, y'all? They exchanged gifts with one another. Y'all hear me? Not only did they exchange gifts, but it was the time of having family feasts together. Is this kind of familiar? You want to know where our practices come from? You want to know why we exchange gifts on Christmas? It comes from the festival of Saturnalia. Now, I know somebody don't like what I'm saying. God, you messing up my Christmas. Good. Good. It's not our day of celebration. Saturnalia was a time of general merriment. It wasn't Merry Christmas. It was Merry Saturnalia. People would participate in games, giving of gifts, abundance of sweetmeat, like honey cured ham, or honey glazed ham, I will call it. You know, and a typical with ceremonious events, they also did something else that let them know it was the festival of Saturnalia. It was called candle burning. Ride down the street and see the candles in the window. Where, why do people put candles in their window? They don't know. Have no idea. It's part of the Christmas decorations when they're in the store. I'm buying these candles, I'm putting them in my window, not even realizing where this comes from. In general, the whole purpose of the Festival of Saturnalia was for everybody to have a good time. It was the greatest holiday of the Roman year. So when people say Merry Christmas, like I say, brothers and sisters, they're really perpetuating this pagan celebration. They just don't know that they are. The word Christmas derives, as I told you, from Christus Natus, the Roman Church's standard ritual celebration. Well, you believe that Christmas is in the Bible? I'm talking to y'all now. I'm talking to y'all listening to me on television and watching me now. You believe it's in the Bible? Where? You might be surprised to discover that there's absolutely not one mention of Christmas anywhere in the Christian scriptures. There is no call to observe Christmas in the scriptures. There's not one example in the Bible of the observance of Christmas. In fact, let me share with you what the Roman Catholic Church said. In the New Catholic Encyclopedia, write this down, volume 3, page 656. Go check it out for yourself. The New Catholic Encyclopedia says these words, and I quote, "Inexplicable though it seems, the date of the Messiah's birth is not known." The Gospels indicate neither the day nor the month. End of quote. The people who gave us this lie, see, that's what I'm trying to tell you. The people who gave us the lie know it's a lie. But yet the people to whom the lie was given to will fight you tooth and nail in defense of it. Put you out there. Put that. You ain't my child no more. Get out. Leave my home. Leave here. Say to the Lord, if you cast the blood of Jesus into me, I'll never go with under that head. That's some deep. That is a serious psychological impairment. When you believe in something that doesn't exist to the point where you want to distance yourself from your own flesh and blood. In case you didn't know it, brothers and sisters, Christmas was banned in England in 1645. They vowed to rid the country of corruption, and to do this, they stopped Christmas. But when Charles II was restored to the throne, he reinstated it. For those who don't know, Christmas was banned in Boston, Massachusetts, from 1659 to 1681. Christmas was totally forbidden. And anyone who was seen celebrating what they knew was a pagan ritual was charged with 5 shillings. After the American Revolution, however, Christmas was reinstated. But guess what? It wasn't until June of 1870 that Christmas became a federal holiday. They, when I say, why they gave us Christmas, who is they? The pagans who are void of spirituality gave us Christmas and Easter. And the reason why they gave it to us, I'll tell you again, so that we who are spiritual by nature would adopt their ways and desire a fabrication to be our reality. Look at the person next to you and say, anytime you long for a lie to be your reality, you are suffering from mental illness. I'm glad you said that, Cheryl. Cheryl said, you're crazy. But see, the problem with mental illness doesn't necessarily mean that you're crazy. Follow how this goes. Follow what I'm saying. And in fact, it's like the man who he had a flat tire in front of an insane asylum. So the man got out to change his tire. Car broke down right in front of an insane asylum. So he got out to change his tire, right? And you know how when you take the lugs off the wheel, you put them in your hubcap, you know? So when the man took his tire, the flat tire, off the rim and was getting ready to put the inflated spare back on the wheel, his foot kicked the hubcap. And the lugs went down into the storm drain. So the man is standing there saying, man, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Oh, man. So there was this man in the insane asylum looking through the bars of the window. He said, excuse me, why don't you just take one lug off of the other three wheels and use it to put hold the tire so you can get to a gas station? So the man looked at him and said, that's an insane thought. Why not think of that? How'd you think of that? Ain't you crazy? So the man looked at him and said, just because I'm crazy don't mean I'm stupid. Man. A lot of people who are classified as mentally unstable got a lot of sense. A lot of people who are suffering from this psychological impairment are wearing robes, standing in the position I'm standing in now as the teacher, perpetuating this psychological impairment on the house. Brothers and sisters, as I close, I plead with you, and I plead with you today with a certain sense of excitement, because I'm beginning to see more and more the resurrection of minds that have suffered from psychological impairment. I see people being healed because they're beginning to use their African minds and experience freedom, or they're freeing the door.
Yeah.
So my closing plea to you is, let us forsake these anti-spiritual practices. forsake these anti-African practices. Let us forsake these unholy pagan